Resurrection Sunday, we no longer have tears of sorrow and fear at the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Holy Friday has passed, and today we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is risen. For Christians, the resurrection is a picture of the supreme omnipotence of God, that God is able to raise from the dead, and he is able to liberate us from our own death. The fact of our own certain mortality, our own coming death, does not have power over us any longer, because death has been conquered and does not hold us down. We are free of its shackles, so we don't have to weep, because he is alive, because he is risen. Lord God, I commit this service into your hands. I pray for your people, and I pray for the Chinese Community Church, that it would be a church that is a resurrection church, a church that communicates to the lost the power, the omnipotence of God, and that God loves all. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So as Christians, we look forward to life with an unspeakable joy, just like the followers of Jesus, the early disciples. They had an enthusiasm. They had a joy. They were enthusiastic advocates of God. Today, in our world, we live at a time where it's often unfashionable to be enthusiastic about anything. How many of you have enthusiastic partisans of one side or the other? You don't want them to be with you. But in Christianity, this enthusiasm for God is a response to the power of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he is not here. He is risen. And that is the message that I want to talk about today. What does this all mean, this resurrection? I want to focus on the meaning and the purpose and the power of the resurrection. For one thing, the resurrection of Jesus means that darkness in our lives and in this world can never hide from the light of God. The power to raise from the dead, Jesus, and to raise us from death is the same power that brings light to the world. All secrets will be revealed. All secrets. There are many secrets in this room. Every secret will be revealed. No matter what your sin, if you come to Christ and repent, you will be liberated. You will be saved. You will be freed because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The living God, resurrected, has power to save. Resurrection power is available to Christians around the world. I think of Christians in China, in Iran, of course in America. That power encourages them to be people of faith in difficult circumstances. Our text this morning that we're looking at from Acts chapter 5, 27 to 33 is an important text because it talks about the implications, the impact of resurrection. If you read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 4, you will sense an atmosphere, like Charles said this morning, a feeling of the presence of God, a feeling of excitement that the apostles had. They were enthusiastic about this Christ. The resurrection of Jesus changed them, as the resurrection of Christ changes us. These frightened followers of Jesus suddenly became bold proclaimers of Jesus. Before the resurrection, they were unenthusiastic, without a mission, hiding out. After the resurrection, they became bold proclaimers, desiring to share the good news. They did not have a hand-me-down Christian experience. And I don't want to speak negatively of this, but they didn't rely upon their heritage, their family ties, their cultural connections, the fact that they attended church or their family attended church. No, they relied on their own personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Why do we come on Easter? Do we come on Easter because we want to eat the food? We want to visit friends? We want to see family members? We want to check the block? No. For us, the church is not a social club. The church is the community of God, which has been empowered, that has been enthused by that Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. Friend, don't miss out on the meaning and the power of the resurrection. It's more than just getting together once a year. The power of the resurrection changes entire lives, entire trajectories. It gives purpose and vision for life. You know, we live a long time in this life, and we die. All of us die. I think that we should have joy through life because of our relationship with God, the living God. We should experience that resurrection power of God in our lives as believers. The disciples had this vital feeling. They had this encounter, this knowledge of God, an enthusiasm, a vitality in their hearts that fired them up so they could impact their world. They were changed by their experience of Christ through the resurrection. What about us this morning? Does the knowledge that Jesus Christ rose from the dead excite us? Does it motivate us to reach lost people? How has the resurrection impacted our lives? How about the church? How has the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacted Chinese Community Church and its mission in the city? Verses 27 and 28. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, not like we questioned our baptismal candidates, I'm sure. But the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Now there's a background to this. The disciples had already been in prison. Note here that the high priest didn't ask the disciples how they got out of prison. It was obviously a miracle. The chief priest didn't want to hear about the angels who freed them. No, he was upset with them because they were proclaiming this message. Upset that they were proclaiming the fact that that liberation and freedom and salvation can take place through the resurrection. Like many totalitarian governments today, the Church of Jesus was a threat to the status quo, to this chief priest. He wanted to control it. And there's governments today that outlaw the teaching of children. And there's some nations where you cannot teach children about Jesus. Some nations where they want to control the message and regulate the churches. Some nations where they tear down large, influential churches and throw people in prison. But people still were impacted by the resurrection, and they preached and they communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ. They decided to obey God rather than man. The gospels also tell us that after they crucified Jesus, the disciples fled. But after he rose from the dead, the second chapter of Acts tells us they experienced the work of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. They had experienced this reality of the resurrected Lord that made them want to tell others, want to walk in purity and holiness and power to make their lives count. How do we fit into this story? How do you fit into the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you have a vitality of faith? Would you say your Christian life is a vital faith, that you sense the presence of God in your life? Do you have a missional purpose? Do you know why God has you here in Chinese Community Church? Do you even know why the Chinese Community Church is here and what its potential is and what it can do? I guarantee you, Pastor Josh, Charles, and Joanna, I'm sure they have a vision of what God can do, what the resurrected power of Jesus Christ can do in this community. The disciples told people everywhere. I think we need to tell people everywhere. You don't have to hit people on the head with the Bible. I remember one time someone told me that he took some Bibles into China, right? And he couldn't give them all out. So on his way out on a bus, he had a box of Bibles, and he was throwing them at people in the field. That's not a very effective way to reach people. The way to reach people is through relationship. God puts them in our lives, and we share the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read that on the day of Pentecost, the apostles preached in the temple, causing a tremendous disturbance. Peter's first important message. People listened, said, these people are drunk. And yet 3,000 people were converted to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed a paralyzed man, a lame man, a blind beggar. They prayed, they healed him with the power of God, and he was being carried to the temple at the time. He was being carried, and he was going to be laid in the normal spot where he laid and was a beggar, just like Washington, D.C. We have beggars in Washington, D.C., and they know their location, and they're there every single time. That's exactly what was happening with this man. Peter and John fixed their gaze on the man and said, "Look at us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the man stood up and walked and leapt. What a wonderful picture. Sometimes I wish God would do that with Christians. You preach to them and say, "Go tell people about Jesus." And everyone would jump up and go out and tell people about Jesus. Don't you wish that would be a good thing? I think so. That would be a good thing. Sometimes I wish that would happen, that people would sense the same missional purpose of the early disciples. Believers who have worked their entire lives in government. My wife's a government worker. But you've worked your entire life in industry, a business, and you've never shared the gospel with your neighbor. If the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is in our life, we will share the gospel. We will communicate the gospel in a good way. We won't hit them over the head with the Bible, but we will communicate the gospel with our neighbor because we are enthusiastic about it. The power of the resurrection, the power to reach out. Peter's second sermon took place with the beggar man, still clinging to him. Can you imagine? Peter went somewhere and the man who was a beggar was still holding onto him. He went to another location to preach. And the man's holding onto him to the portico of Solomon. And Peter's sermon there explained to everybody, this healing was done because of Jesus. Peter said to the people, their leaders put to death the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead. Peter then said, it's a fact that we are all witnesses of, that Jesus was put to the death, and he rose from death. In Acts chapter 4, the leaders, what did they do when they heard the second time Peter was preaching? They rounded him up and threw him in prison, both of them. And the Bible tells us soon after that, an angel broke them out of prison. Hallelujah, the angel broke them out. And what did the angel tell them to do? Go back and stand and speak to the people in the temple. Whoa, that's kind of dangerous. Sometimes God will call us to risk danger to proclaim the gospel. That is what the resurrection power of Christ can do. We have a dynamic message, but there's always going to be opposition, even opposition from people in the church. Some people don't like the church to be excited. Some people like a boring church. People want a tame church. No crying, no hands in the air, no visible signs of repentance. You know, in the old days, in the 1800s and 1900s, people in church, they would often cry and weep because they know that they were sinners. And when the preacher says, come to Christ, they would come to Christ. They'd recognize their status before a holy God. We need to do that. We need to think about where we are at in light of a holy God, because there's a lot of sins going around this world today that are hidden. Where do you stand before a holy God? The resurrection is about change and transformation. As God comes into our heart and lives, he changes us. We turn away from our evil. We turn away from our sin, our backbiting, our gossip, our mean-spirited activities, our corruption, our cheating the government. As Christians, we turn away from these things and we strive to be people of God. Jesus. Some of us, we like a little God to put on our fireplace mantle. We like that. We like a little God there. It comforts us, but it doesn't challenge us to change, to repent. May that precious name of Jesus be ever on our lips. The disciples preached that name. They preached the resurrection of the Messiah, and the high priest couldn't stand it. Let us in the Chinese Community Church be a people who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in the power of the resurrection, to take good opportunity to share the message of Christ with our neighbor. Secondly, Jesus is exalted at God's right hand. Verse 29 to 31, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death, hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand. In other words, he rose him from the dead as a prince and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Peter and the apostles did not apologize when they were questioned by the chief priest for their faith. They did not apologize. They were bold. They said what they believed without hesitation. We must obey God rather than man. In American society today, there are people who will attack you because you are a follower of Christ. Not only in China or Iran or different places of the world, but even in America. If you're a follower of Christ and you have Christian values, you honor biblical Christian marriage, you have a biblical view of sexual identity, you have a biblical view of humanity, that men and women are sinful people. Some people don't believe in sin today. And if you say you believe, well, that's not a right thing to do. They call you, they say, are you judging me? I'm not judging you. The universe judges you because your sin will destroy you in the end. A biblical view of humanity is rejected. People who talk about biblical giving, in other words, giving to the church, people get upset in the church. How come that preacher's talking about money so much? Let me tell you, if you want to see someone's heart, look at their tax returns. Look at the percentage of giving that they have. Okay? That'll tell you a lot about them. I love it when politicians are now having their tax returns put up in the air, put in the news. It's interesting to see. Well, so this guy gave 0.001%. Man, I'm going to trust him or her? I tell you, Christians are giving people. We give to support the work of ministry. And it doesn't, you know, I think that people that have a problem with giving, they have a spiritual problem. Really. If you love that money that you'll never take with you so much, what is wrong with helping people out and giving to people? Nothing. Nothing. Sometimes I think we need to pray, God, help us to be more generous in our lives. I want to talk about tipping. I believe in tipping. I believe when you go to a restaurant, you should just give some money to people, give a little extra, be nice. There's nothing wrong with that. My friend, there are times in life where God calls us to speak and to stand in the workplace or a place where we may even pay a price, but we must obey God rather than man. If you're a believer and the Spirit of God has never urged you to pray for someone at work or tell a person about Jesus, I seriously question the level of commitment you have to the resurrection life as a Christian. God loves people. He wants us to reach out to people. Thirdly, we are witnesses. We have a story to tell. And Luke, Acts records Peter's words here. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. When God has given to those whom God has given to those who obey him. But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. The apostles here emphasize the fact that they were witnesses to these things. They were witnesses to the resurrection. We as Christians emphasize that we believe in the resurrection. We have experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ as he's come into our life. Peter also says that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, was a witness. That's an evidence, actually, that the Holy Spirit is a person, by the way. It fits into the Trinitarian theology for Christians, that the fact that the Spirit of God was considered a witness. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is with us in our lives if we are believers. He will help us to be witnesses. Peter also is preaching to the leaders here. And it was all about winning them to Christ. Peter preached to the chief Pharisee, the chief rabbi, the chief priest, and he preached to the people in the church as well. He preached to them all. And some people are afraid to tell someone about Jesus because you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid, oh, they'll think that I'm crazy or they think that I'm a fool. Let me tell you, Peter wasn't. Peter understood some people will receive, some people will reject. But you are called to communicate. And so Peter, standing in front of these leaders, challenged them with the resurrection message of Jesus Christ. And the fact is, this group, they wanted to kill him. Well, that's okay. That's a part of our life as Christians. Sometimes people won't like our message. We should try to share it in a kind, loving way, which I think Peter did. Each of us should consider the people God places in our path. A few months ago, my mother died. She had been sick for many years, so I flew out to Seattle area, Redmond. She's buried in Bellevue. And I remember taking the flight to Boston. A rabbi sat next to me, and I believe that God sent that person to sit next to me, and I was able to talk to him in a very positive, intellectual way about the gospel. God places people in your life. He leads people to you. He may even lead a homeless person to you. How are you going to respond to him? I just ask you as Christians to be open to reaching out. Now, some Christians are happy because they are in a community where they take care of each other. I have here a monkey stick. How many of you have a monkey stick? How many, any of you guys have these? Scratch my back. Come here, Josh. Scratch your back there. So, you know, the church loves the monkey stick because we scratch each other's back. Come here, Charles. Scratch there. We love the monkey stick. It feels so good. But we only have the monkey stick in the church. Right? This monkey stick religion. It's good. It's not bad. But it's not the full dynamic of the resurrection power. Because it's not just for the church. It's for the outside of the church. So we have the lifeline. This is what you throw outside. You throw this to people that are not a part of the church. Lifeline religion. And you pull people in. You pull people in because you love them. They're drowning. They're lost in their sin. They don't know God. They have no hope. They have no purpose. We are called to throw the lifeline out to people in some way. Now, you may be a doctor, and you might have a doctor friend. You may be a restaurant worker. You may have a restaurant friend. In some way, we communicate the life of God. There's a hymn that I want to read the words of it. I'm almost done here. And the words are powerful. I wish I could sing it. But I'm going to say it. Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother. Oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. This is the lifeline, O tempest-tossed men, baffled by waves of temptation and sin. Wild winds of passion your strength cannot brave, but Jesus is mighty and Jesus can save. Jesus is able to you who are driven farther and farther from God and from heaven. Helpless and hopeless, overwhelmed by the wave, we throw out the lifeline till Jesus can save. This is the lifeline, oh, grasp it today. See, you are recklessly drifting away. Voices in warning shout over the wave. Oh, grasp the strong lifeline, for Jesus can save. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. That's what the power of the resurrection does. It motivates us to reach people who are lost, who are lost. They don't know where they're at. They need God. And how did the leaders, the Jewish leaders, respond? But when they heard this, Peter and John, Peter speaking, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill them. Friends, when we share Christ, there will always be opposition. Don't be upset. Go ahead and share Christ. But be wise, harmless as a dove, as wise as a fox. When we share Christ, make sure that you do it prayerfully also. I'm going to read a text from Romans chapter 8, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of resurrection, means that we have hope and confidence. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, I commit your people into your hands. Help us, Lord, to be that lifeline, that resource for those who don't know you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.